Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 13th, 2009. I'm Annalisa VanHook. In this episode, I'll be speaking to Malcolm Main about a paper from his group published in the current issue of Science Signaling about the signaling events that regulate the differentiation of mouse embryonic stem cells. Stem cells are pluripotent cells that are self-renewing, that is, they keep dividing to produce daughter cells that themselves remain in an undifferentiated or unspecialized state until specific cues induce them to differentiate. Stem cells have the ability to differentiate into many different cell types, and understanding the signals that regulate the maintenance of self-renewal and the process of differentiation is essential for any potential therapeutic use of stem cells or their derivatives. In this week's issue of Science Signaling, Malcolm Main and Thomas Smithgall demonstrate that two Src family kinase members have opposing effects on influencing a cell's decision between self-renewal and differentiation. Welcome, Dr. Main.
Thank you very much.
This paper that your group has just published in Science Signaling is about embryonic stem cells and signaling through Src kinases. Obviously, stem cells are a very hot topic in the news and in scientific research as well, but there are a lot of different types of stem cells in terms of their origin and the types of cells they can give rise to, you know, what sort of fate they can adopt. Before we talk about the experiments you did, can you first define the system that you use, the types of stem cells that you were studying?
Absolutely. Our system that we used for the study was mouse embryonic stem cells. And the technical description of those cells is they are derived from the inner cell mass of a blastocyst. The less technical description of those cells is that these cells are derived from a developing embryo not long after fertilization, but before terminal differentiation starts. And so the result is that these cells are able to form just about every cell type in the body.
And you were looking at the ability of these stem cells to differentiate into specific cell types, or were you looking at how the cells remain in their undifferentiated state? What aspect of mouse embryonic stem cell biology were you looking at?
So we are essentially asking what signaling mechanism regulates the very first loss of pluripotency as differentiation begins. Because once differentiation begins, you very rapidly lose pluripotency in embryonic stem cells. So our question was, what are the mechanisms by which pluripotency is maintained as embryonic stem cells continue to divide, and how do these signaling pathways change as embryonic stem cells start to undergo differentiation?
And there are a lot of signaling events that are going on during stem cell maintenance and in stem cell differentiation. So did you set out to look at a specific signaling pathway, or did you just try to look at the big picture and then narrow it down from there?
It actually came from our group's interest in Src kinase family as a whole, not necessarily specifically in embryonic stem cell signaling. We've been studying with Dr. Smithgall Src kinases for a long time, and we began to investigate them in this system as part of other studies. And it became rapidly clear that this was going to be a very fruitful system for us and for understanding Src kinases in general. Mouse embryonic stem cells require the presence of a cytokine called LIFT to maintain their pluripotency. Mm-hmm. Upon removal of LIFT cytokine, mouse embryonic stem cells rapidly lose their pluripotency. We've discovered that if you inhibit all Src kinase activity, and there are 11 different Src kinases in mice, then that loss of pluripotency following LIFT removal is blocked. So that was an interesting finding to us, which suggested in a very useful system that this might be a way to get to more directly at what the normal biological functions of Src kinases.
And so you looked at whether it was one specific member of this family or whether multiple ones were required?
That's correct. And what we found in our original paper on this subject was that there are actually many Src kinases being expressed in embryonic stem cells, at least 7. And that was surprising to us. And so we began to think about, well, how do we go about differentiating which Src kinase is doing what type of function? And that's what led to our current paper.
And so what was your strategy for specifically looking at the role of each Src kinase? One would think the most straightforward way would be to make mutants one at a time to knock out each Src kinase.
That's correct. But what we were interested in more was kind of a reverse approach to that. And so what we wanted to ask was, well, to have these multiple Src kinases, and a kind of general feeling in the field is that Src kinases often have redundant functions. And so if you knock one down, could any phenotype resulting from that mutant be masked by another start kinase? So we decided to go about it a little bit differently and say, what if we remove all start kinase activity in a mouse embryonic stem cell, which we can do with our inhibitor, mm-hmm. chemical inhibitor, and then restore the activity of a single one? Can we gain insight into the function of these kinases taking that direction? So what we did was we went to the literature and looked at the biochemical structure of these kinase proteins, specifically bound to inhibitors similar to the inhibitors that we are using. So using the literature, we learned that these inhibitors bind to start kinases in a specific way, and that we could prevent that blocking by a single mutation in these kinases. So that's what we did. We went through each kinase one by one and created this mutation and showed that after creating this single mutation in the kinase, then we would create an inhibitor-resistant mutant of that particular kinase.
So that then you were able to use the inhibitor to knock out all the normal forms of all the SART kinases and add back the specific SART kinase that you had engineered to be resistant.
That's correct. That's exactly what we did. And we looked essentially first at just phenotype of mouse embryonic stem cells expressing these inhibitor-resistant forms of the SART kinases.
In your analysis, then, what did you find? Did you find that these SART kinases have unique roles in regulating embryonic stem cell development, or were their activities overlapping or redundant?
Well, what we did after adding them back, we added five different inhibitor-resistant mutants back one at a time in the presence of inhibitor. And what we found was that of those five, four had no real effect on the phenotype of the mouse embryonic stem cells growing in the presence of inhibitor. However, one, and that was C-SARC, when we introduced the inhibitor-resistant form of that kinase, significantly changed the phenotype of the cells in a way that suggested it was inducing differentiation of the embryonic stem cells.
Was it inducing the differentiation of these stem cells into a particular type of cell?
Well, that was the hard part for us, because this is a new field for us. What we found was that after adding SARC inhibitor-resistant form back in the presence of inhibitor, what we saw was that the cells undergo a significant phenotypic change, but they undergo what I would describe as a small differentiation change. So during differentiation, a specific pathway under which cells begin to form different cell types. And one of the first things to happen is upon losing pluripotency is that cell type called primitive ectoderm is formed. Mm-hmm. And primitive ectoderm will eventually form into the three germ layers, mesoderm, endoderm, and ectoderm, that will form all cell types in the body. Mm-hmm. And what we saw was by introducing SARC activity into mouse embryonic stem cells in the absence of all other SARC activity was that these cells formed a primitive ectoderm-like state, but did not differentiate beyond that.
By restoring the activity of this one particular SARC kinase, C-SARC, you were able to restore the cell's ability to differentiate, and they differentiated into what appeared to be primitive ectoderm. How did you determine that these cells are primitive ectoderm? Are they able to go on to form the same other cell types that normal primitive ectoderm can?
Yes, they are. In fact, we did this in two ways. Once we had these cells expressing markers of primitive ectoderm, we were able to take those and do an in vitro assay, which loosely mimics in vivo development. And that's through the formation of embryoid bodies. And embryoid bodies are just an in vitro model of in vivo development. And when normal embryoid bodies develop, they go through a very specific differentiation pathway. First tissue to form is primitive ectoderm, and that primitive ectoderm continues to differentiate into mesoderm, endoderm, ectoderm, and then further cell types. What we showed was that cells expressing SARC-IR in the presence of inhibitor, which by marker analysis we thought to be a primitive ectoderm-like cell, were actually somewhat advanced in their ability to differentiate relative to the control cells. And the way we determined this was that if you compared differentiation of SARC-IR-derived embryoid bodies to control embryoid bodies is that markers of mesoderm appeared much earlier in the SARC-IR-derived embryoid bodies.
So these cells then had started along the pathway to differentiation. How far along that pathway were they?
They were in what I would describe as step one, in the formation of primitive ectoderm, which is one of the first real differentiated cell type to form. And one of the experiments we did to test this was to test their ability to revert back into embryonic stem cells following removal of inhibitor. And that is a fundamental property of primitive ectoderm, that it is not far enough into the differentiation pathway that it loses the ability to revert back to a fully pluripotent embryonic stem cell. And what we found was that these cells, once when we added inhibitor in the presence of this inhibitor-resistant SARC, which looked to be primitive ectoderm, when we removed inhibitor, they reverted back both by marker analysis and by phenotype to a state which closely resembled embryonic stem cells.
This particular SARC kinase, CSARC, appears to function very early in the differentiation process when the cell is just making that decision whether or not it's ready to differentiate. I would imagine that's very useful for people who are thinking about ways to direct or to engineer stem cell development.
I think it is, because the ultimate goal of this work is to be able to direct differentiation of embryonic stem cells or embryonic stem cell-like cells, cells that have full pluripotency, towards specific cell types using small molecules. The reason is that we have a lot of ability now to direct differentiation using growth factors or other cell-derived compounds. But when it comes to a therapeutic use of stem cells, a significant advantage will be the ability to generate specific cell types in the absence of biologic factors. And so using compounds such as kinase inhibitors or any other small molecules that can be added and removed will be a great benefit in the therapeutic value of these cells.
In your experiments, you found that when you essentially knock out all the SARC kinases by putting this chemical inhibitor on the cells, and then you restore a mutant version, an engineered version of CSARC that's resistant to this inhibitor, then the cells can resume their differentiation. Was it surprising to you that only one of these kinases restored that ability? Would you have thought that another SARC kinase could substitute, could perform that function?
In a way, it was surprising. In a way, it wasn't. And the reason I say that is this. There has been data from Cecilia Anoran and Doug Melton that knockdown of a single SARC kinase, CES, induced differentiation of mouse embryonic stem cells. However, our data initially showed that if you block all SARC kinase activity, then that blocks differentiation. So in a way, you have this conflicting data, but that actually, in a way, made sense in a model that we generated. And that model predicted that expression of at least one SARC kinase should induce differentiation. I'm not saying that we were a little surprised that maybe more than one didn't, but we were expecting to find at least one.
Two of these kinases, YES and CSARC, appear to have opposing activities, at least in terms of how they affect stem cell differentiation.
That's correct.
Are there any other contexts in which SARC kinases seem to antagonize one another, or is there anything known about the structural or the sequence basis of why the proteins can function differently?
There's really not. And so this is a new area that we're extremely interested in pursuing. What areas of the kinases are providing this unique function? And we know a lot about the structural motifs involved in SARC kinases, so our goal is to investigate those and find out, in this particular instance, which motifs in the SARC kinases are important for this regulation.
How about binding partners? Do YES and CSARC have different binding partners?
We know a lot about binding partners in other systems, and there are a lot. We don't know anything about binding partners in this system, and it'll be very interesting to find out, and that's one of the avenues we're pursuing right now.
These kinases then have very similar structures, and in many contexts they have very similar activities, but you're finding that two of these kinases have opposing activities in at least one context in embryonic stem cell development. What does that mean in terms of being able to design inhibitors that would inhibit only one kinase or only one aspect of a kinase's function, for example?
Design of specific inhibitors for the SARC kinase family that would target only individual SARCs is best understood for LIC. And that is a result of LIC's important function in the immune response. What this data, I think, suggests is that we'll need to be careful with these inhibitors. In targeting a single SARC kinase, you run the possibility of unmasking an unknown function of other SARC kinases in that cell. And that will be something that will need to be taken into consideration.
Well, thank you for taking the time to speak with me, Dr. Main.
Thank you very much, Annalisa.
That was Malcolm Main, a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, talking about a paper from his group published in the current issue of Science Signaling. That paper is titled, Chemical genetics identifies CSARC as an activator of primitive ectoderm formation in murine embryonic stem cells. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. The show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. And Jeffrey Cook composed the music. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.